Welcome back to Alpha Mamas Get Obsessed with Success podcast. You're with your host, Alpha Mama, and today we are going to delve into the world of minimalism and its profound impact on cultivating self-discipline in your life. Our focus today, we're going to be looking at a book called Minimalism, Living a Meaningful Life, and this was written by Joshua Fields Milburn and Ryan Nicodemus. I hope I'm saying that right. I love this book. I love it so much. It is a short book. It's an easy read, and it really covers sort of a holistic kind of Tony Robbins approach to life in terms of looking at a holistic perspective of the different aspects of our life, health, relationships, finances, and so forth. So why minimalism? Why do we want to get involved in minimalism in our lives? Or why would we be interested? And how does it help us with our journey to self-discipline? It's not just about decluttering physical spaces. It's a mindset, a conscious decision to simplify every aspect of our lives. How does it tie in to the concept of self-discipline? Because that's the theme that we're following this year. The goal is self-discipline this year by reducing distractions and focusing on what really matters in your life. And once we start removing all the junk and filtering out all the junk in our lives, we can channel our energy towards personal growth and productivity and become well-oiled, smooth machines that are really effective, efficient, and we hit our targets with a bullseye. And that's the kind of life that I dream of cultivating, is having, you know, that real self-discipline and efficiency and effectiveness. When I make a move, I do it effectively. So I'm going to go through the different areas of this book and kind of break down the areas that Josh and Ryan talk about in Minimalism, Living a Meaningful Life. So they talk a lot about their backstories and how they basically grew up in an excessive culture of, you know, collecting and clutter and people. And they saw the connection between all these attachments to things actually having something to do with deeper issues going on. So attachment to emotions. But then on top of that, they also really sort of lean into how society and the narrative that we're fed constantly around us, you know, because obviously the people that are on the media, in the media and around us are teaching us it's capitalism. They're teaching us to consume and to effectively move the economy forward. But is this really what you want? Or is it just what you're being told you want, you know? If anyone's done any marketing and so forth, you know, they always talk about this creating new products and creating new brands altogether, the items that people never knew they needed in their life, you know. So it's an interesting approach. So in their book, they break it down into sections of life. So they talk about your health, your relationships with others and your relationship with yourself, your passions, so things like having a passion and a purpose in your life, growth, so continuously growing, and that's sort of a human need. And then finally, they look at contribution. And I mean, health makes a lot of sense. In terms of health is a really important ingredient in our lives if we want to live a long life and we want to be sort of successful in our lives, to think sharply. Without a doubt, healthy body equals healthy mind, without a doubt. That's something I actually learned through personal experience. I was going through a phase a few years ago. I had, well, probably close to a decade ago now, I had separated from my husband due to some domestic violence issues and addiction issues, substance abuse. And I was then going through a bit of a situation myself where I was probably drinking a little bit more than I should be when no one else was around, you know, and that went on for probably about 2 years. And so closet drinking, and maybe only once a week or something, but I still put on a lot of weight and I became really, you know, I lost my sharpness and I was a bit all over the place. I was a little bit of a hot mess, really. And I decided one day I was walking into the supermarket and I saw my reflection in the sliding doors before they opened. And I couldn't believe that that was me. I didn't recognize myself. I'd put on so much weight and I felt so ashamed of who I'd become. I wasn't doing any exercise. I didn't have any health or fitness to my life, and I wasn't really looking after myself. And, you know, I was emotionally weak. The truth is, I was emotionally weak, and the emotional weakness continued to feed the weak choices I was making at the time to deal with my problems. And so I decided I had to make a drastic change to my life. And I started by first running, so learning how to run, which it started with 2 kilometres. I couldn't even run 2 kilometres and I had to like walk part of it. And, you know, it's like that couch to 5K or couch to 10K app, but I wasn't using that. But I used the principles of like intermittent running. And then someone who was a lot fitter than I was gave me some guidance and they were like, oh, you know, 80% or 90% of your fitness is actually your diet, not what you do. And so you actually need to really, really focus on nutrition and the right kind of nutrition. And now that I'm over 40, I've learned a new problem, which is now I really need to focus on strength and building strength, because, you know, lifting weights and focusing on a protein diet, low carb diet, helps to actually burn, like build the muscle, but also burn the fat, which we're all susceptible to as we get older. So that's something that I'm learning now. I've got this new challenge, you know, but at the time, I started doing a lot of cardio, and wow, within, I think it was 9 weeks, I lost 9 kilos, literally. The weight just dropped off, and then I started playing AFL, women's AFL, and quickly, and I started doing kickboxing with a girlfriend, and I quickly became ripped, and I lost all my weight, and I became super fit, and I was like, oh my God. But what really, really was significant about losing weight and getting fit was that as I grew stronger physically, my mental strength grew. I became stronger mentally. And I realized that when you build your body muscle, you're actually also building your mind muscle at the same time. And there are so many overlaps when you think about it in terms of self-discipline and fitness and the mind, and being able to have self-control, self-discipline to get up and actually work out. That is a mental game. It's not a physical game. So I know people talk about, you know, having not fat shaming and so forth, and I'm definitely not for that. However, I do think that No matter how hard it is at the beginning, if you're more overweight, it's going to be harder for you, not only because you have a lot more work to do, but also because, you know, the reason why you might be that size is because you're not building, you don't have the self-discipline or haven't cultivated the strength, the mental strength to actually have that self-control, have that self-discipline to get up and do the exercise every day, have that, is, you know, self-discipline not to eat that extra food. And I mean, I can't talk, like, I'm currently overweight. So that is why I'm doing this podcast, so that I can cultivate my self-discipline and become amazing, which is what we all want to do, isn't it? So, and that's really what they talk about, is kind of like making sure that you really, really look after your health, simplify your life, cut out all the junk food, eat the bare basics, focus on exercise, focus on getting enough sleep at night, and just simplify your diet, basically. The next section that they, Ryan and Josh, talk about in Minimalism, Living a Meaningful Life is the importance of relationships. Basically, they suggest there are 8 elements of great relationships, which they say are love, trust, honesty, caring, support, attention, authenticity, understanding. And they talk about this in relation to not only other people, but also to have this sort of these elements in your relationship with yourself. So to build a sense of self-love, to trust, honesty, authenticity, they're all sort of the same thing in a way, because you need honesty to have trust, and you need to show up and be authentic by being honest and trustworthy to build trust and honesty. And in order for you to be in a space where you can be honest and have authenticity, it's really important that you, but also the people around you and the relationships that you build, have understanding, support, attention, caring, and love. You know, and I think understanding really is love in a lot of ways. When someone chooses not to understand us, or they choose not to accept us, even if they don't understand us, it's really a demonstration of a lack of love. You know, they're not able to accept you, even though they don't understand you. And it can be really hard. And I've found that in my life. I've got especially some family members, more so than others, but also some people I've met in life where, I don't know, I've found it really hard to cultivate those relationships. And then I attempt to, you know, have a relationship with these people or whatever, and it just sort of keeps not being effective, or it's not a healthy connection. And in a way, like, you know, in recent times I've decided, you know what, like, life's too short to worry about it. Life is too short to worry about toxic relationships. Just let them go. You know, I am not losing anything. I'm only gaining my freedom. I'm gaining peace. I'm gaining prosperity in my life, because, you know, I'm not trying to fit into someone else's expectations that I'm never going to live up to. And actually, Why was I ever trying to live up to their expectations in the first place? Why does it really matter, you know? And the other thing that I really drew away from that, which I actually love about the relationship section in this book, is they talk about creating a vision board of who you want to be friends with. So they talk about, you know, what must you do and what must you do not only to attract the people that you want in your life, but also who do you need, what changes must you make to be the person that those people want to be around. And I really, really love that. Like, it's funny, I've never ever created a vision board of the friends I want to have. Like, who are the kind of people I want to hang out with in my life? It's very much like neuro-linguistic programming, you know, sort of creating a vision and then letting the vision come to you through living inside that space and becoming the person that already lives in that space. So that is something, an exercise that I highly recommend, and it's something that I'm going to be doing this week, is I want to focus a lot on improving my relationships with people this year. I feel like I've done a lot of decluttering of relationships that weren't serving me or serving, you know, my growth or, you know, the betterment of my soul, which is fantastic. You know, it's great. But, you know, I'd like to deepen connections with the people that I do have in my life and really invest in what I do have in my life and make sure that I'm living those relationships in the most meaningful way and in the most connected way with those people and building those into to strong connections. Next, they talk about passions. And when they talk about passion, they also mean purpose and the importance of having passion or having purpose in your life. One thing that I've personally learned about passion is, and this is from that book, Think and Grow Rich, and it really, really works, and I've had it in my own life, is that if you repetitively do something every day, you practice it every single day, you will become obsessed with it. And once that obsession starts, that's really the flame of the passion. You know, you become so passionate, and you are actually a lot more in control of that than you realize, because you choose every day, you know, what you focus on, what you see out of a situation. And through the way that you choose to focus your attention, you build and cultivate that passion and purpose. And it's so important to have purpose in our life, and it's the driving force, you know. When you read up on, like, Navy SEALs, for example, when they do their training, for them to be able to achieve really hard things in their lives, they have to, in their missions, sorry, they have to know what their trigger is. And when they say trigger, what they mean is it's basically your purpose or your reason for being alive. What is your trigger that will keep you alive no matter what, that will push you to achieve that thing and keep going effectively? And so being really, really connected with your purpose in life and knowing what your purpose in life is a really, really powerful tool if you're trying to cultivate self-discipline, because it's a driving force that will let you know why you're doing something. I can't say that this is my purpose right now, but what drove me in some ways to start doing this sort of stuff was, and actually on my, you know, in the past 5 years, I've been running my own business now for over 3 years, a law firm. And, you know, I've gone from being a pudgy, you know, half alcoholic, whatever, to, you know, like I'm well more into fitness. It's a long game, I guess. And yeah, a lot of things have changed. And I guess, you know, the driving force for me in the beginning anyway was like I wanted to other people, in particular women, to see that they can do anything they want, that they can achieve anything they want in their lives if they put their mind to it. And nothing is the biggest thing that's stopping you is your own mindset, is are the own limitations of your brain. And I struggle with these things all the time. I've been going on this journey for years and years and years, trying to break down all the barriers within my mind that prevent me, all the voices in my head saying, no, you can't do that. No, that's not right. That's not my role. I'm not capable of doing that, when actually you can. And that's something they talk about in the passion section of this book, is they talk about anchors and how anchors actually prevent people from achieving great things or finding their true passions, because they might have, they break it down into four anchors: the anchor of identity, so who you think you're meant to be versus who you really are; the anchor of status, being too attached to, you know, having to have the nice car or having to have the nice house or the best job because you're worried about what other people think; the anchor of certainty, so, you know, sticking to things just because it gives you a sense of security and not having the courage to do follow your heart or follow your soul; and then money, allowing, you know, money to hold you back from following your passions and following your dreams. Now the final two, so then they talk about growth. So the argument there is that everyone needs to feel as though they're growing in their life. And then finally, contribution, the importance of contributing to the world around you, and how it adds value to your life. And these things, in terms of minimalism, it's really about fine-tuning and honing in on what really, really matters to you. So I guess what this book's about is it's a compelling argument as to why minimalism is a step towards living a meaningful life. And when you focus on things that really matter, then you're able to be more effective in cultivating self-discipline and being effective, effective contributor to the world around you and the community around you. You know, there's this idea that a cluttered environment reflects a cluttered mind. But by simplifying our surroundings, we create a conducive space for focused and disciplined living. So with regard to minimalism, it extends beyond, I guess what this book gets to is that minimalism or a minimalist approach to life is not just about getting rid of stuff in your house. It's about, you know, changing and reevaluating our priorities in life. And through intentional, mindful choices, we can streamline our commitments, focusing on what aligns with our values and goals. This deliberate approach to decision making, as advocated in the book, is a cornerstone of achieving self-discipline. So, you know, this idea of being mindfully, cultivating mindful consumption of the world around us, and not sort of just mindlessly being drawn in by reels on social media or whatever the TV tells you to buy. And through this intentionalism, we bring into our lives a lifestyle that supports our journey towards self-discipline. So it is a very inspiring book. I highly recommend it. It's not a long book. It's easy to read, and it just gives you that kind of inspiration to kickstart your journey towards self-discipline and towards creating a minimalist life that is basically a hotbed for a self-disciplined life and living with intention. So that is our show for this week. It was great to have you on board, and I am excited to see you all next week. I'd love to hear how your vision boards go and whether you decide to read this book. Personally, I am